Online wedding bells?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. A reported internet search marriage between Microsoft and Yahoo has the makings of quite the lucrative deal. An official announcement from the powerful couple is expected today. The partnership is aimed at Google, which commands a huge share of the online advertising market. Kara Swisher says the deal could translate into billions of dollars, and she writes a blog for the Dow Jones site All Things Digital. She's with us this morning. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. What exactly would this do?
Yahoo would sell search advertising for its own sites and also Microsoft sites, and essentially Microsoft would be the technology underlying it. Yahoo is a much stronger in the advertising arena, and Microsoft isn't, and so they're trying to use their strengths to try to complement each other.
This back and forth, Kara, has been going on for a long time. What was the spark here?
Well, both Microsoft and Yahoo have been in various talks over the years. There was a hostile takeover attempt by Microsoft to buy Yahoo that didn't work out. As they've struggled with each other and with the larger search market, Google has become this massively important search company with most of the share.
And how significant a challenge will this pose to Google?
Well, Google's still over 60%, and this combination creates a 30% market share. It's still not going to be tomorrow. Google's not going to lose all the market share it has. Google has huge advantages because of its scale, and it's hard to turn that around, as everybody knows from Microsoft in the operating system business. So it at least gets them in the game, and that's what advertisers need. They need the scale so that they will advertise on it, and that's what's most important.
So Kara, what do you think Wall Street's going to say about this deal?
Well, Wall Street had been anticipating probably, from what I understand, it's a much smaller deal. I think everyone knows this was moving slowly towards being finished, and now we'll see how they perform.
All right. Kara Swisher is an editor, and she writes a blog over at All Things Digital. Kara, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
I can tell you Wall Street's thinking about the slow pace of economic recovery right now, not Microsoft Yahoo. Investors aren't happy about yesterday's consumer confidence numbers that fell short of expectations. Stock futures pointing lower right now. Yesterday, the S&P 500 and Dow lost a bit. The Nasdaq added a little. European markets are mainly higher right now, about 1%. And in Asia, shares were mostly lower today. Markets in Hong Kong and Shanghai were down hard. Whether space tourism gets off the ground is a matter of cosmic know-how and capital. And that last part is getting a boost from oil-rich Abu Dhabi. The Gulf state is buying a stake in British entrepreneur Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, has the story.
Abu Dhabi is buying 32% of Virgin Galactic, the cost $280 million. The Emirate will gain the exclusive right in the Gulf region to host Galactic flights into space. This doesn't look like a surefire investment, however. The company has yet to announce a launch date, and NASA has poo-pooed the whole venture. 300 people have applied for a ticket at $200,000 apiece, and they've paid deposits. But David Wade, a spaceflight insurer at Lloyd's of London, wonders how many others will follow.
$200,000 is a lot to find, and it's easy for people to answer a survey saying that, yes, they would pay that kind of money for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But how many people are really going to find that money when it comes to putting their cash on the line?
Nevertheless, Virgin Galactic is powering ahead. This week, the company unveiled its so-called mothership at an air show in Wisconsin. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Japan's number 2 and 3 car makers, Honda and Nissan, reported unexpected profits today. Both were expecting losses. We're going to start seeing the new 2010 Ford Taurus showing up at dealers in the next few weeks. The original one helped turn the automaker around back in the 90s. This time, Ford is taking a calculated risk and marketing the Taurus as its flagship image-changing vehicle. For Michigan Radio, Tracy Samilton reports.
When Ford unveiled the Taurus in 1986, there was nothing like it on the road. Its aerodynamic shape was unique for a midsize family sedan. It was roomy, it was affordable, and it had thoughtful, unexpected features like side visors. Car and Driver editor Eddie Alterman says the Taurus hit that elusive sweet spot.
It was incredibly good looking, it was built well, and it was fun to drive.
The formula worked. Between 1992 and 1996, the Taurus was the best-selling car in the country, accounting for about 13% of Ford's total sales. Paul Eisenstein heads research firm DetroitBureau.com.
It was the last time Detroit has overwhelmingly dominated the most important segment of the passenger car market.
So what happened? Eisenstein says lackluster redesigns took the car's popularity for granted. By 2006, only rental car companies were buying the Taurus. Now, Ford is putting the Taurus name on what's really a different car. Mike Crowley is Ford's head of marketing for cars and crossovers. He says the first thing to go was the jelly bean shape.
We really need to have a design that captured people's imagination and really changed their perception.
And on the inside, the car is loaded with high-tech options, usually found only on luxury vehicles, like radar blind spot detection and voice-activated navigation. Paul Eisenstein of DetroitBureau.com says this could be a risky transition for Ford. Consumers expecting something similar to the old Taurus could be confused. And this car is being targeted at men in their 40s and 50s. Even if it catches on, it won't be selling 400,000 units a year.
We're talking perhaps 50, 60, if they're lucky, 70,000 vehicles a year. So it's a completely different type of product, and it will have to be judged on a very different scale.
Still, some analysts think this sophisticated sedan could help spark an image makeover for both the nameplate and the company, and that's exactly what Ford wants. By September, the Taurus lover, skeptic, or newbie can get a look at the new model at their local dealership. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
And check out photos of the new Taurus at marketplace.org. Hey, breaking news right now. The deal is official. As we told you earlier in this broadcast, Microsoft and Yahoo officially announced their partnership this morning. That is now official. More, of course, later today on Marketplace. Thanks for being here. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.